but encourage you one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Father, I just want to thank you that as the day draws near, Lord, we are safe and secure in Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to live for Him. Father, I ask that you bless the service, bless me, message, Father. I pray I would speak your words. I pray for the kids as they go to children's church. They would be attentive and learn well things of you. In Jesus' name, amen. 15, we're looking at verses 8 through 17. Last week I stood here and told you I had 10 pages of notes. This week, 3. So you're lucky. We're going to get out of time for some chili. John chapter 15, beginning with verse 8. Jesus is speaking. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. John 15, verse 8, Jesus said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Bearing fruit glorifies God. But what is fruit? What in particular, what is this fruit? Fruit is always what is produced from the plant, from what's planted. We cannot grow corn from turnip seeds. And you cannot harvest walnuts from apple trees. But you can and you should expect to find corn on corn stalks and apple on apple trees. In the same way, we should expect to find God's characteristics in those who are rooted in God. Now Jesus goes on to explain what those characteristics are. Verse number 9. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So, in those three verses that I just read, there's two main points. What is the first main point? It's one word. Right, it's love. That shouldn't be hard. Because it says, I love. If,
said blah, blah, blah. That's like up there 3 or 4 times.
Okay. So, as Father has loved me, so I love you. So have I loved you. So, if you're going to be rooted in the Father, grafted in the Father, and you're going to be sprouting out, you're going to be showing things of love. Does love always give? No. Because sometimes people want things that aren't good for them. And they want things that might be good for today, but they're not good for the long haul. Like the story that Carol told about, with that mirror in there, about the child who, the father who let his son stay and sleep. Let him sleep in, that was in here, wasn't it? And that wasn't good for him. He needed to tell his boy, get up, go to school. And the boy's like, I don't want to go to school. But that's what was good for him. So do we all, does love always give what's wanted?
No.
In the same way, God's ways are higher than our ways. And he's trying to grow and mature us into men and women of God. And we have to be willing to accept that forming to make it happen. Now, these things, verse 11, these things I've spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So, is your joy full? I mean, is your joy full to the top, full so high, it's like the glass, remember when you were a little kid, maybe you still do it, but you take a glass of water and you fill it so full, it actually has a little bump of water above the glass. Remember when you were a kid and you did that? It was like so cool. Have water above the glass. Is your joy that full? And is your joy that full all the time? Or is your joy only that full when you have to stop, think about it, pray about it, prepare yourself, ignore a couple of things that happen, forget about the guy that you're mad at, or is your joy always full? These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Joy is not having everything that we lust for. That's not joy. Let me reread this little section here before I get totally lost. I am not asking you if you have everything you lust for. I am asking if you have everything your heart longs for. If your heart is longing for a new car, you got a problem. You might want a new car, you might be able to afford a new car, you might go buy a new car. But if that's what your heart is longing for, if that's what your innermost being desires, if that's what's going to fulfill you, you're broke, materialistic, not focusing on God. Love you, but... I'm not asking you if you're healthy, wealthy, and wise. I'm asking if you're full of joy. I'm asking if God's love is enough, or if you want God's love and something more. Now I know that this passage, my joy may be full, this is a great place to step off and teach the prosperity gospel. But I want to tell you that the only prosperity gospel that's taught in Scripture is that Jesus Christ gave it all for us. Therein lies our prosperity. We have it all if we have Jesus. Amen. Someone's like, yeah, I want a new car. Well, I'll tell you about that new car. That new car will break down. That new car will cost you a lot of money. That new car is going to change from a blessing to a headache as time goes by. Amen?
Amen.
What we're looking for when we're talking about joy is we are looking for joy that transcends. So, slide number six, Sue. You have to have our joy full. We must understand what joy is. Joy is not happiness. It's common today to hear believers speak of the difference between joy and happiness. That teaching usually points out something like this. Happiness is a feeling, but joy is not. Happiness is fleeting, but joy is everlasting. Happiness depends on circumstances or other people, but joy is a gift from God. Happiness is worldly, but joy is divine. And these are all great and true. But there's no such thing as glum joy. We cannot drain all happiness out of it and still have joy. When God's Spirit gives us joy, then we are also happy. Christians should be joyful. Happiness should characterize our everyday life. Joy brings happiness. James 1:2 says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." So count it all joy when you're having problems. Are we happy in every circumstance? No, of course not. There are times to weep. There are times to mourn. But even when we're weeping and we're mourning, we are joyful knowing that God makes all things beautiful in His time. And we know that if we hold on to His joy, the God who makes all things beautiful in His time, and our happiness is going through our joy like this, pretty soon they're going to catch up to each other again, and we will once again be happy and joyful. Now, I'm not sure, you know, if I went into the area that Carol is ministering to in the Philippines with this message, and I said, "Better days are coming." They're like, "Woo-hoo." There's 50 acres here, there's 80,000 people living here, and there's no money. So, where's the joy in that? Well, I'll tell you where the joy is in that. The joy in that is resting in the fact that if you receive Jesus Christ, who is the Redeemer, if you come to faith in God through Jesus Christ, and you bring the Holy Spirit into your heart, it is then that a transformation happens inside of you that is bigger than what's happening around you. And what's inside you begins to shine brighter and brighter, and the darker your area, the brighter the light. And when you are hungry and satisfied at the same time, the whole world is going to look at you and say, "That man's crazy." But that man is going to say, "I'm not crazy. I have a vision. I have a vision of heaven. I am not going to be here forever. As a matter of fact, when I die and leave this place, I'm going to a place that is eternal. And when I've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as a star, I'll have no less days to sing God's praise when I first begun." See, this message is the message for people in every circumstance and in every condition, because joy can happen for everyone. And why does that joy happen? Because Jesus gives us that joy. Are you joyful? You Americans, You who have everything, you who are among the 5% of the wealthiest in the world. Last week, I had a graphic up there, you guys remember that, where I showed the 20 wealthiest people on Forbes 400 list and how much money they had and all that. What Bill Gates had $81 billion. We look at that and think, man, I'm lucky to have $81. He got $81 billion. And then to rub it in, I put up a graphic where there's pictures of pallets of money. And you think, how can somebody have a pallet full of money? But these guys have got it. But I'm telling you that if we spread this out globally, you and I live in the top 5% of the wealthiest people in the world. How can we have joy? Quite simply, God loves us. God loves us. Goes to the verse, slide number 9. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. I want you to focus on verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I know I can step right in the center of a doctrinal hornet's nest here. I want to tell you this. Your profession of faith did not save you. Jesus Christ, crucified on the cross, saved you.
Amen.
Your belief in him doesn't save you. Christ did it all. You say, well, you have to believe, though. Mm-hmm. Where do you get the strength to believe? Why is it that you can present the same message to two people and one believes and one doesn't? You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and help the children on the streets, to help the prostitutes in the brothels. I've anointed and chosen you to take the message of real joy to the rich. I have chosen you to be the ambassador of the message of God's love for humanity. I have chosen you to do that. How do we bear fruit? We start by accepting that God loves us. And if you're hearing this voice today, quite simply, you've got to ask yourself, how do I know I'm chosen? Receive the message. Confess yourself as in need. Confess yourself a sinner. Confess that you don't understand it all, but that you trust God. That you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and set you free. Set you free from the sin that had you tethered back to death and hell and has unclipped you that you might go forward and live forever in God's kingdom. Go, don't be just a Sunday Christian. Go, be involved. Go, spread the gospel in everything that you do. Francis Assisi, I think it was, at least I think it's credited to him, said, share the gospel in everything you do. When necessary, use words.
I like that.
And sometimes it's necessary. My challenge to you today is to accept the fact that Jesus Christ, the Creator of all things, God the Father, who created all things, that they have chosen you to go and bear fruit. You. Picture the universe and picture it from a million miles away. And there's Earth, a little dot, smaller than a pea. There it is, way out there. And on that, that's where we live. And God Almighty cares about you and chose you. Out of all that, He picked you. This is like going to the gravel pit, picking up one rock and saying, I choose this rock to be my special rock. And this rock to be my special rock. And this rock to be my special rock. Out of all the millions of rocks, choosing one, that's what God has done with us. He has chosen us. Picked us. Live like you've been chosen. Live like you've been set free. Live like love abounds in your life. Live like joy will never end. Let's stand together.